What's really good, everybody? This is Nathan Auerbach, and welcome to the podcast where we get into people's stories and go down a bunch of rabbit holes about what's really good in the world. For today's guest, I got to chat with Robert Allam, who you may know as Galloboob from Reddit and the rest of the online world. I reached out to Rob on Twitter about doing a show, and right away something clicked where it just really felt like, man, this is a real, genuine guy. Like, you know how, especially with online culture, there's just so many layers people are putting on themselves, you know, whether it's virtue signaling or branding, just trying extra hard to be funny or cool or whatever, and I never really got any of that from him. I mean, like, obviously, how much can you really get to know someone online and through an hour-long podcast, I guess? But to me, he really just gave off that what you see is what you get vibe, which I personally admire and hope to be more like myself, honestly. Yeah, Rob has been featured in Forbes, Meme Insider, and a bunch more for his internet notoriety. He was named the first largest karma account on Reddit with over 24 million karma. He has a Jiffy Cat account with over 183 million views. He's worked with the Lad Bible, Unilad, and he's now the CMO at Supload, which is a free image hosting site that earns users cryptocurrency, which we get into through our talk. I mean, we covered a hell of a lot here, from how Rob got into Reddit and how complex online culture is becoming since we're living in the wild west of it all. And we talked about the gray areas of free speech online, and also how content creation lends itself to companies profiting off of other people's work in many cases, which is an ongoing problem of just regulation and moderation and legality and yada yada yada. Anyway, this talk was a blast, and I hope you all enjoy it. Now let's get into what's really good. Rob, thanks for coming on the podcast.
It's a pleasure.
Hello from the other side of the world. Right.
Yep. But it's, man, I don't even know what I'm doing in London, but yeah, I'm in London now.
Did you grow up in London? Like, what's your whole story? Tell me your story.
I'm originally Greek Lebanese, half-half. Mom is Greek, dad is Lebanese. I kind of went to school in Lebanon in a French lycée, like a French school, and did the university in English. But I've been paying rent for about 9 to 10 years in London, like a fucking idiot. That's the story of my life, basically. What have you been doing? 9 years of paying rent in London, so bleeding out.
Is it the spot to be? Like, what's going on there?
I thought it was, you know, 9 years ago, I thought this is where everything is happening. This is where dreams come true. Hell no. Stay in your hometown. Stay with your fucking parents. Don't move out. It's all a lie, man. I get nothing is real. It's, you spend taxes and rent, basically. That's all you do.
Because most of the stuff you do, it's online. So, I mean, like, what is there any connect or anything like that's drawing you to the city or?
Yeah, there was. There was. Initially, I moved to London and Manchester to work with Lad Bible and Unilad and eventually Juke and Media. So there was this, you know, need to be here.
Yeah.
But right now it's, well, Supload is a startup, so it's virtual. And my side project is also virtual because it's not out there yet. So I have no reason to be here, which it's like, it's on my mind every day. What am I doing?
But, yeah. Like, where would you want to go? Like, is there somewhere in mind or?
There's a place in like Colorado I wanted to go to because there's a person of interest there, I would say. And yeah, it's a girl. But other than that, I have nowhere else in the world I want to be, man. I think Greece is decent because of the sea and the beaches. Lebanon is just too unstable. It's beautiful too, but unstable. So I think Greece will be the end of me. We'll see.
You were there on a vacation the other week. I was stalking your Instagram. Just looked ridiculous.
I could tell, by the way. I could see. I'm stalking you now, too, man. Ever since we wanted to chat, I just couldn't help it. And it's not like we had our chat, but I just felt like I could be myself with you. I guess it's on you. You're cool. You're easygoing. So
thanks, man.
We became like...
Internet friends, right? It's mutual.
Exactly. We came into friends before the chat.
Yeah, this has been like, what, like 10 or 15 times we've tried to get together. I'm so glad we did it, because it's one of those things that a lot of times when you get into that groove with people, it's just, hey, it's never going to happen. It's never going
to. And you want it to happen. But when I read your message, I'm like, you said you were held up. I'm like, no, it's not going to happen again. But then I finished and I'm like, thanks. Like, we're going to just talk just today.
For people listening, Rob and I settled on this time last night, so we knew it was like, okay, 2 p.m. my time, 7 p.m. your time, we're gonna hit it. And of course, right after my lunch hour, I witnessed a domestic violence case. So I was parked in front of this woman and this man who were fighting over a baby, and the guy was threatening her and she ended up hitting him. So I had to wait till the police came, and I was Instagram messaging Rob, dude, please give me 15 minutes, we're gonna make this happen. But anyway,
good
man.
On you for attending, yeah. By the way, good on you. It was the right thing to do. I waited. It's fine.
Right. It's all good. We did it. So we're here now. So, all right, dude, let's just jump into a little bit of what you do. You are notorious in the Reddit world. So for people, I think there's probably some percentage of people listening that might not know what Reddit is. So can you give like a brief 101, how it works, like how you got into it?
Of course. So I would say Reddit is an aggregation platform for like a discussion-based forum. They've got pretty much everything from memes to articles to original content to the dark side and the light side, because they've got like the freedom of speech going on. So you've got, you know, communities from all walks of life coming up. Some are dark, some are fine.
Yep.
But otherwise, I kind of spent too long on this platform. It's been 4 years now. Started, you know, just posting, testing the water, seeing what picks up. I have no idea what I was doing. And a friend actually introduced me to Reddit, saying they had this community for Photoshop battles. Mm. And I used to Photoshop stuff. So I went there to check it out, and I ended up staying because apparently my Photoshops were funny. That was like way before I even made an account. It was an alt account. And then I got really badly hooked. I stayed on Reddit.
That's what happens.
Through work. That's what happens. Like through work, everything. I kind of got to posting more and more. Sometimes I'd make stories go viral organically. Like I'd see them somewhere posted, blows up on Reddit. The next day it's on all the, you know, normal media, like from BuzzFeed to CNN to whatever. All the media today feed off of viral media, understandably so, because you can just consume a cute piece of content and move on with your day. Everyone can relate. So everyone's dishing out this mass viral media. And I was kind of there just tinkering on Reddit, noticing the effect of things going viral on Reddit and then jumping off to a ripple effect on the general media. And it keeps going, like it keeps spreading. Sometimes it has like the longevity of what, 2-3 weeks,
yeah.
You still see it trending and spread it. It was fascinating to me and a new thing. I had no idea how it worked. So I did it some more, ended up moderating. And now I'm like the biggest account on Reddit, I guess, in its history, which is whatever it is. Cheers for that.
Yeah, right. So wild. I saw the you're like the first. They put up like a rank board for karma. So how does that work for people who don't know, like with the karma setup?
Right. So the karma setup is kind of like, you know, Facebook likes, but Facebook likes don't register in like one specific counter. So you can't go and check out how many likes you've had overall. I think they introduced something like a notification from Facebook saying you had, you know, this year you had 40,000
right,
likes.
Exactly. Right?
It's cute, but it's not their model. Reddit karma is essentially your score that is retained. And anytime you get upvoted or downvoted, it registers on your counter. And basically Reddit is all about that community, I guess, what do you call it? Like there was a word, it's escaping me now, but basically you will be happy when you have, you know, a lot of people agreeing with your comment or piece
right.
of content. And they can reflect it with karma by upvoting you. And then it can, I guess, reflect the total amount of times people upvoted you, simply put.
Cool. I'm so fascinated by how you got into all this, because it's such a niche platform where I think a lot of people like myself, who I consider myself very online, quote unquote, where I get
you are. I see your Twitter. I know what you do.
You know, you're the same way. Like we both probably have a lot of friends who are in this sort of vein of thought. But when you actually get into something like Reddit, you realize that in a lot of cases, you're a small fish in a big pond, because there's so many funny, creative people who are constantly looking for content and coming up with amazing ideas. So, like, prior to you said you did design, but like prior to getting into Reddit, what did you do? Like, did you have a background in marketing or any of this? Or
yeah, fair question. I absolutely left this out through my introduction, but yeah, I actually studied landscape architecture and worked in the field. I got a degree and a master's in it, and a master's from London. I worked in the field for about 8 years, 9 years. It was fun designing gardens and urban spaces, but and I guess not fun enough, or I didn't feel like I could do something driven with this. I felt like I was going to hit a brick wall eventually and be like, what the fuck did I do with my life? And design is not really my best forte, I would say. Not patient enough to be a designer.
Yeah.
So I ended up kind of unplugging, man. I took a risk. I took a massive, massive risk by leaving my job. That was a landscape architecture job. If you want the real story, I'll give it to you. Do you want the real story?
Of course I want the real story.
Hit me. All right. So the real story is that I was still on Reddit tinkering back then. And I kind of got in touch with Alexis Ohanian, the CEO. Mm-hmm. Well, the co-founder, sorry, not even CEO, the co-founder of Reddit. He left now for other things, but he's still on the board. But he's the co-founder along with Steve Huffman. So what happened was they wanted to profile me as a Reddit profile. That was back on when they had their blog called Upvoted. And anyway, so they had one girl there that interviewed me, and she, at the end of the interview, it was really lovely. Like, what do you do? How did you get on Reddit? They wanted to profile their users, but after that, they kind of had the Ellen Powell drama or some kind of drama or the blackouts. Yeah, so they discontinued it. They couldn't continue it. Reddit for about a year was, you know, under heavy media backlash. Anyway, so at the end of my chat with that girl that was working there for the blog, she tells me, I have a surprise for you. There's someone who wants to meet you. I'm like, all right. Didn't know who the fuck it was. Alexis shows up, man, with this silly, like, friendly face. He's like, hey, dude. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean, hey, dude? He's like, hey, dude. And he was super cool, man. He told me he wanted to meet me. Like, he took time out of his day to meet me. And I was like, dude, that means so much. I don't even know what to make of it, because I didn't know how legit the account was or how legit Reddit was in the real world or what I could do with it. I had no idea. But apparently the possibilities are endless. And we talked. It was lovely. He ended up asking me what am I doing with my life. I told him that I'm doing landscape, but, you know, I spend most of my days on Reddit. And he mentioned, I think he was joking, but here I am today. He mentioned, why don't you do something professionally with, you know, with your account? Like, you're kind of famous on Reddit, so it should reflect somewhere else. Dude, one day or two later, I sent an email to Lad Bible, an application email. Mm-hmm. Not even 30 minutes after I sent the email, they reply me like, hey, dude, yeah, we know who you are. Come up to Manchester for an interview.
What?
I was like, are you fucking kidding me? What? It's not even a CV. It was like, this is who I am online. I was still kind of an amateur in the field, like the professional field of media, but it was great. I went there, met them, got a job, and started, you know, working with them. Eventually I separated from Lad Bible and went to UniLad for better reasons, but it's not important now. So.
So the connect to Lad Bible, that was through Reddit. That was through, like, your work with Reddit.
That was through my username, through the who I am. I still have, I think, the email that I sent. So yeah, I think I got covered on Forbes by a friend journalist, and they included this CV, which was basically an email saying, hello, I'm Galaboov. Do you want me to come work with you? And they were, obviously we had an interview, and if, you know, they didn't feel like I was valid to their business, I wouldn't have gotten a job, but they were super excited and asked, was I? And that was all thanks to Alexis being like, what about the real world? Put Reddit with the real world, mate.
Well, that's what's so interesting about all this, because I think for a lot of people, when they see Reddit, like people on Reddit, which is deep online culture, you don't often think about what that person's like in real life, because in a lot of cases it's sort of that stereotype, it's the nerd in their parents' basement. Whereas, like, with you, you're just like a total, like, natural, personable guy. Like, it's almost like the opposite of the stereotype. So you have the demeanor and the skill set in real life that pairs with the online personality.
I appreciate that, man. First of all, that's really nice of you to say. Like, I want to say thanks. It makes me kind of blush, even though I'm half Arab. I don't blush, but yeah.
Like, So like, how do you describe to people what you do? Like, or at that time, I should say, how did you describe what you do to people? Because, I mean, this is really, like, if you were to explain to someone that I know, oh, I sit on this website and I try to get upvotes and I submit viral content as, like, work. Like, how do you explain that?
I agree. And that's the thing. So, the work-wise, Reddit never was involved with the work. Like, I never had to sponsor or promote stuff. First of all, because Reddit as a platform doesn't allow it, so does the user base and the terms of service. So I have like no reason to shill. But to be fair, I just want to go back to the little lovely question you asked before. It's about, I guess it's being able to just express yourself and being easy with people, like being socially easy and outgoing with people. Like I've always had that, but to me it's normal. So I don't see it as anything other than just my everyday. But I know what you mean, man, because I've met a lot of people throughout Reddit, throughout these online jobs, and there's often this divide where you assume someone, you know, behind a social media job is in his basement. But it's not true. Look at you, man. You're one of the fucking coolest, most refreshing person I've had the pleasure to meet lately. You're out there with your massive beard. And seriously, though. And look, you know how to hold a conversation in person, too. Like, look, that's...
Right. And that's huge.
Applicable
that's huge.
To the real world.
Yeah, for a lot of people, that's like the classic disconnect where you can sort of be a keyboard warrior. You can say certain stuff online and you get in front of somebody and it's a whole different ballgame. Super funny.
To be fair, they exist too. Yeah.
I think they're in the majority. I think they're in the majority.
Cheers to that. Are the majority. Let's not be overly wholesome. They are the majority.
Sure. Yes. I mean, speaking of beards, so how's your shaven life? For those just listening, Rob just shaved his longtime beard.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like? What made you do that?
I've had a beard for about 4 or 5 years. I haven't seen my face for 5 years, maybe, ever since I started out working in media. I don't know. Seriously, dude, I kind of missed seeing my face. That's the only reason I shaved. I wanted to see if I have a jawline?
Like a jawline?
I forgot.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I had a jawline. So I just shaved it, took a chance. Don't do it yourself, please, I beg you. Seriously. I'm getting anxious now.
How's the feedback been? You getting a lot of hate, a lot of people?
Man, it was hilarious because so on Reddit, people know me as the beardy kind of, I guess,
right.
Arab or Greek looking dude. So anytime someone with a similar beard appears in a GIF or a picture, I get tagged. They're like, hey, is it you, Galaboob? It's funny. But after I shaved, a lot of people got... funny personal. They're like, dude, you're no one now. You're no one. Congrats. You're fucking up. Some of my friends were supportive, but very like roasty supportive.
There
like,
you go.
Hard support. But to be fair, I got about 50-50 support and bashing. Girls were more supportive at the no beard, and I'm going to go with that.
The jawline.
The jawline, I think. But deep down, I regret it. Keep that. Yeah.
Dude, it is so...
I'm like, keep that between us, but yeah.
Isn't it so weird how, like, a ton of people that see someone with a beard, they attach that then to who they are and their personality, and it becomes your brand. Like, it becomes... Like, you've had that animation, which is, like, your avatar, which is you with the beard, and then I saw somebody photoshopped it without the beard. It's nuts,
that was honestly hilarious. I did not expect this. They actually photoshopped my avatar without a beard. Even shitty watercolor was like, mate, don't listen to what people said. And he roasted me. It looked awful. But that's the thing. I honestly wasn't expecting this. And man, this is a fascinating thing. Like having a community behind you. And I don't want to say fan base because it kills me a bit inside. I don't like the term.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, I don't want to be a fan of anyone. I want to watch things that I enjoy. And when I don't enjoy them, I won't watch it. It's not fandom. It's entertainment. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, what was I going to say?
The beard, shitty watercolor.
Yes. So the whole beard approach, to be honest, I think it's a good thing for, like, a brand identity in this modern age because people, they're like... It's a good thing. I don't even know why it became a trendy thing. And it is today.
Yeah.
But I was curious to see how the reception was going to be. And to be fair, I'm going to grow it back. Like, simply said, I don't know what else to say. But no. I just kind of need to grow it back. But
I'm with you, man. Like, people always ask me about it. It's so odd. Like, it's almost like asking somebody about the weather or, like, how are the kids? Like, you know what I mean? Like, when someone comes up to me and they're like, oh, man, beard's looking good. I'm like, okay, that's an indicator that you have nothing else to say to me. Like, you're trying to crack a conversation. But
you know what? Work? If I had the beard, and I'm like, dude, I love your beard.
Yeah.
That would be like smoother.
Exactly right. Because we can relate then.
But do people touch your beard ever?
Yes. How you read my mind. I literally had a tweet drafted to send about the internet because some guy touched my beard when I was out, and I was like, it is so rude. Yeah. It's almost it's like harassment. Someone just grabs part of your body.
It's anti-hygienic. I wouldn't want to shake a random. Why would he put his hand on my face? Are you kidding me? It is an epic beard. I have to give you that.
I mean, if you asked, I'd be.
It's
totally
your epic beard, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, dude, if I could give it to you, I would. But you said something that I want to touch on. That was really interesting about just how you don't like calling your followers your fans. Like that's something. I've been of that mindset the past year so hard because ever since the sort of semi-viral moment I had with the Steak'em account that I manage, I got all these people following the account that when you get in like your brand board meetings and you're talking corporate talk and everybody's like, oh, we got to engage our followers, engage the brand fans, it becomes this super sterile thing where you're just like, I don't, for me personally, I'm not one of those white collar corporate people, so I don't see them like that. Like the people that I'm interacting on a day-to-day basis, I enjoy going back and forth with them online. I enjoy their memes. For a lot of them, they DM you, they send you personal stuff like, oh, that's what's going on in my life. I know it's not, we didn't grow up together, we're not best friends, we're not like high-fiving every day, but there is like a level of relationship with the community online, you know, and it's like a really,
absolutely,
it's a real thing. Absolutely. Like do you have that experience with the people that follow your account?
Absolutely, man. This is it. Like, I don't want to call these people my fans because of that, because they're having fun engaging with you, and they're not doing it because they owe you anything or because like they're dedicated fans because of your skill or craft. No, I hate the idea of fandom. Like the hardcore fandom in its essence is flawed. But I think in our business, you know, or our industry or whatever you want to call it, like you are, you know, you have a massively popular podcast. So you kind of become the public figure. You're the guy behind that massively popular corporate account. So you kind of are its face, you know, its entity.
Yeah.
I think, and I've seen how you engage with people, man. No joke. I'm not trying to plug your business or anything, but it's really cool. It's organic. It's relatable, and no one's going to be aggravated by it. They're going to be like, oh, that's fun. Somebody's having fun behind that account.
Yeah.
This is the difference between somebody having kind of organic, normal fun, even though obviously you're going to promote the business, but no, nothing wrong with having fun while doing it. And the difference between fucking propaganda or trying to feed you something that isn't what it is. And fandom to me, especially with Reddit, people enjoy what I do. Some people are supportive. Some people are not. Some people have really valid reasons to be supportive. Some people have less valid reasons to not be supportive. But still, like I hear them out. And some reasons do make sense. But sometimes the exponential hate doesn't excuse, you know, that reason. It just doesn't make sense. It's just karma. Anyway, I think as long as I'm doing something that entertains me and people, fair. But they don't owe me anything, and I'm not even putting anything out in that sense. Like, I don't have a product. If I was a skillful artist, fair enough. But I'm like a media person. So what we do is engage. It's not. I think we should be heralded as, you know, like anything other than what we are. Yeah. And fandom doesn't fit that at all.
That's so true, man. Yeah, it's really, really interesting thinking about just how we perceive each other through our brand personas online and all that, because there is that sort of wall up where, depending on what you do, like say for a corporate entity like I work for, so there's the corporate entity, and obviously that's a brand. Obviously there's certain boundaries. It can't be, the fourth wall can't come down all the way.
There you go.
But like depending on what the internal structure is, like with our internal structure with that Steak'em account, the people that understand that, like, we sort of tapped into something, quote-unquote, authentically, which is funny because even using words like authentic now, like, they become brand language. So it's like, oh, let's make our brand authentic. Let's be authentic. And then even just when you talk like that, it's so inauthentic.
100%,
you know?
Man. 100%. So it's like,
but it is like interesting.
It's true. It's a goal. Like, you have to do it. You have to make an effort not to appear like you're peddling a, you know, some fake product you'd never tried. It's worlds apart. But I think like the Steak'em account is actually hilarious, man. Like, you've got this going on. Comedy, really. Like, why would you not be hilarious on Twitter? What else would you
exactly
do? Exactly. Like, well, yeah. And that's kind of the whole point. So you were doing it right.
Thanks, man. Yeah, yeah. You're for people listening, they're probably gonna be like, man, these two are just sucking each other off the whole time. It's gonna be great. I can't wait to hear what people.
I can't wait.
It's gonna be awesome.
But, give us that ammo.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Exactly. But like, so on that same topic vein, I'm interested to know, like, okay, you have the online. Look, so first off, I guess let's start here. Where did Gallo Boob come from?
Oh my god,
this has got to be good, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'll put it simply, man. I was kind of like a long-haired kind of rock and roll dude when I was a kid, and apparently I had to trace back and remember that. Apparently, I listened to like the word Gallo came from my music genre. The word Gallo, I don't even know where I found it. So I ended up using Gallo on World of Warcraft as my username throughout the years. And tracing back to it, it came from Led Zeppelin's Gallo's Pole song. Like, no joke. This is exactly where I remember. Yeah, this is where I remember getting that word into my head. I mean, a Lebanese kid is not necessarily engaging in English 24/7. So you can think of that. So that was a cool word for me. And I was like, fuck yeah. I used it as a username. And my name is, my friends call me Rube, R-O-O-B, instead of Rob, Rube. I had an email called Gallaroo for as long as I can remember. And eventually, I just swapped the R with the B on Reddit because I was so bored. And I thought, right, let's just get that username. Sounds right. And people kind of caught up with it. I mean, it's hilarious when I see corporate people try to mention the username.
I know, like you see it in like the Forbes article, like you see it something like that.
Yeah, people mentioning Gallo. I think I appeared in like a news or two or three. I can't remember. You know, these daily news like Good Morning America or something where they credit me and they have to credit Gallo Boob. It's funny. It's a little funny thing. I can't get enough of, but yeah.
So I'm interested to know, like, okay, so that's where the name came from. What's it like in this sort of same vein of talking about, like, brand identity and online culture and what we're like in real life? So, like, what's it like for you to balance who you are as a person, like the person that I'm talking to right now, with this online persona? Like, has it ever gotten to the point where you feel like the persona of Gallo Boob is sort of taking on your identity? Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you have trouble with that kind of separating the two at all? Or,
well, there are pros and cons to that, but I hear what you're saying, and it's a very legit question, man. These things do tend to get blurry, you know, the more you get involved with the persona online or something. I think that the safety with Gallo Boob is that, like, it's very Reddit bound, so I don't have, I am myself on Reddit, but outside, you know, whenever I'm out of Reddit, people don't really recognize it. It's not like, even though Reddit is the third biggest platform in the US right now, it's not as mainstream as Instagram or Facebook. Yeah. I can't be like, yeah, I'm famous on Insta. It would be different. Like, being famous on Insta, you can be more full of yourself, but being famous on Reddit makes zero.
Yeah, because you're anonymous virtually.
Yeah, because you are anonymous virtually. You said it. And the platform was initially, you know, anonymous based. Now they're introducing self-promotion and profiles. But still, predominantly, it's anonymous. I think I'm going to be honest with you, man. Like, Reddit can be great, but it also can be fucking horrendous. I've had my fair share of days, normal days, ruined because of a few things happening on Reddit or bad cases of, you know, witch hunts or things like that. And I should try to do my best to always be transparent. Like, I've never hidden who I work with or what I do. Never once did I take money to post on Reddit because it makes zero sense and because it would get me banned. Like, I literally have everything to lose. Why would I do it? But at times, people try to fabricate stories against you because you're kind of on the front lines. So your name carries noise or carries some volume. So if somebody is like, oh, Gallo Boob did this on Reddit, people usually flock over because they know who Gallo Boob is and they're waiting for some either drama or kind of, you know, that kind of negative vibe you want to hop on. Basically, online drama. Even worse when it's meta drama to Reddit. But anyway,
this
can work both ways. It can really ruin your day. It can make your day great because of like a popular front page post or some good engagement or a comment that went popular, you know, like a comment that I posted or anything, any little positive engagement will go a long way making your day better. At least to me, that's how I'm involved with Reddit emotionally, I guess. And it's not really by choice. It's just habit by now. But I also have an investigation or two with the FBI on death threats that were quite specific and dark. And that ruins any person's day, to be honest. Like, I wanna say, ha, I'll laugh in your face. But no, I don't laugh in your face, man. And fuck it. If I want to die, doesn't matter. But I have a family behind me. So that's kind of what I care for. They will have a shitty life coping with the fact that I got murdered. But and that's kind of the dark side to Reddit, man. It's shit. But and the FBI is on it. Whoever has been tinkering is either locked up or about to do it. So yeah.
Yeah, and you're kind of riding that blurry line too, because most of Reddit is anonymous, so people are sort of used to writing things without consequence. Whereas with you, you have your Instagram profile, you have your Twitter profile, where you're talking about your life, and that's messed up.
Yeah, that is messed up. I even went into the moderating, like deep moderating, with my public profile. You realize what that means? And anyone who's angry with the sub can reach me on Insta and be like, "Hey, you fucker, why did you?" I'm like, "Dude, what are you doing? What are you guys doing with your lives?" But like, the hate translates badly on other social media outside of Reddit. But I think you are right. I wouldn't say it's a mistake to go public, but it's easier to be anonymous on Reddit. It's a fickle platform, man. And their security and anti-harassment tools are there, but they're not as enforced as other platforms like Instagram and Facebook and things like that. You can get away with more toxic stuff on Reddit, definitely.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed is that a lot of the people who are active on Reddit or active on, say, Twitter as a platform, they're on it every day around the clock. And for me personally, like, that's just never been me. Like, I've always really enjoyed being online, but most of my life, you know, call me privileged, call me whatever. Like, I have a good group of friends, you know, in real life. I've had a good family growing up. I'm lucky to, like, have been born into the circumstances I've been born into. So I have that backdrop of who I am and my identity and my community. Whereas I know a lot of the people I'm friends with online, they live in, like, a rural area. You know what I mean? Where they don't have many friends. And like, so the online community is really where they get the relationship from and all that. So with your situation, like being someone who is so public and is also simultaneously so involved online, you talked there about how much this obviously is weighing on you. You're getting death threats. How important is it for you to maintain like a vibrant social life outside of all this to kind of maintain your sanity and like who you are?
Very good question. Well, man, it's true. I just want to put it out there. I was lucky enough to have, you know, family supporting me. They were able to support me through academics and life. And whenever I had a problem, they were there for me. Even when I unplugged from landscape architecture, if it wasn't for my family's support, I would have never, never dared to do the jump. Because for a while I was a bit, you know, floating in nowhere and letting go what 9 years of expertise behind you. But so like that support carries you a long way. But sorry, I think I missed the question by like one word.
No, you're fine, man. From your life online, like how do you counterbalance a lot of the negativity like that in real life? You're fine.
Sorry, like I'm starving and I've had like a big drink. So, but yeah, this is true, man. Especially when you work online, like you and I work online, meaning we can, well, work from a cafe or my bed or in the living room. It's not always a good thing because, you know, spending time between yourself is fun when you want it, but doing it as a job sounds terrible.
Like it never turns off.
Nope. It exactly never turns off. And then when you're done, you're still in the same kind of state of mind, which is not what you should do. I've been trying to go to like public spaces sometimes to work from there. I try to keep my, I guess, social sanity going by, I'm kind of lucky to have friends here. I have a solid group of friends. So we, you know, whenever I want to go out or go chill or go have a drink, they're there. Otherwise, it would have been really hard to be in a city where I don't know anyone and I work online. Seriously, you don't get to meet people physically. That's the thing. Unless you go on Tinder. But still, like, that's not really a meet for friendship. True. Yeah. I'm kind of lucky to have a park next to me in London, too. No joke. Sometimes I just stop everything I'm doing and I just go for a walk. Because I don't think so. I was reading like a small article. I don't want to go on a tangent or something, but it's very related to what we're talking about. It, like the human brain, in essence, is used to recognizing and remembering maybe 50 individuals, 50 or plus individuals, but not like 5,000 individuals or 500.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to think organically of, oh, I remember Jack, Sally, and like 5,000 other people. Yeah. These are my friends. Brain doesn't support that kind of familiarity, I would say. And in the modern age of the online, you do, like, I can engage with maybe 10,000 people in a day. Great. I did talk with people, but it will never be the same as seeing someone in your face or like hearing someone's voice or smelling someone. It's not the same. Yeah. And being at home doing that is never going to be good enough. One solution for me was to get a dog. No joke. Like to get a dog, because it helps a lot with that, you know, dealing with working alone or working at home or working online. I haven't gotten a dog yet because still waiting for more stability, but hopefully soon. But I hear you, man. What do you do? Would you work from home? Do you go to office, to a, like a shared office?
I go to an office every day, but it is kind of weird because my schedule fluctuates depending on the time I'm spending on social media. So there's some nights where depending on what's going on online, I might be up till 12, 2, 3 in the morning, and then I'll go in late. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of just depends because, like, sometimes, like, a lot of the people that work and what I do, like, it's sort of like the 9-to-5 type gig. So they're coming in at 8, 7 in the morning, depending on what it is exactly they're doing. For me, there's not a lot happening online in my target audience. You know what I mean? At that time. So it's kind of counterproductive. So yeah, it really just depends. And like, I'm right with you. Like, it's cool. You have a park there. Like I live sort of near like a trail too. So, I mean, that's such a great,
absolutely.
Like sometimes I'll just totally disconnect in the middle of the night. Like I'll be tweeting. And sometimes when I notice I'm online for too long and you start to kind of not shake, but you kind of get like really antsy, you know, like the anxiety kind of builds
up. That is the word. Yeah. That is the word. It is anxiety.
You feel it and you just know you got to disconnect. And like when that happens, I will literally just like shut the computer, just go outside and just walk. Like I'll just walk for like 30 minutes or whatever I got to do. Sometimes I'll leave my phone at home, like, because it literally never stops. Like some days, like when you're working on social media, you just got your phone on you all day. Like any break, whether you go to the bathroom or you're on a bus or at a red light, whatever it is, you're just checking.
It's always on.
Yeah, and it's just, you have to disconnect.
I agree.
It's so tough, man. So like you talked about like your family. Go ahead.
I was going to ask if you have a dog. That's it. That's all I
have.
All
a cat. I think you've seen Moon
that
Cat.
That works too.
I got Moon Cat.
The
white cat. Yeah, like I'm trying to. he's the best, man. He's a really funny cat. But I'm definitely.
Let's make him blow up. Let's make him famous.
Dude,
I can see Moon
if Cat. If I spent more time taking pictures of him and videos, I probably could. I'm just not like that. Like outside of my work, I'm not like hyper focusing on like the thing in my real life to take pictures of and stuff, you know,
to make them trend. I know what you mean.
Exactly.
You're already focusing on like the things to make trend professionally.
Exactly.
I hear you, man. Listen to me. I'm gonna send you like 5 examples of some popular gifs you can recreate.
There we go.
I got contacts in like from BuzzFeed to 9gag to Unilad. We'll get that trending on Facebook, and I'll get that trending on Reddit. There we go.
Well, dude, you have all like the formulas down. This is what's really interesting about you, because you have essentially hacked the system without hacking the system. You've been saying through this whole thing where like Reddit isn't a platform, for those who don't know, like you can't be a shill in that platform because you get sniffed out, and these are like the people who use that website, they're like internet detectives, so
they're waiting for the shill to show.
So
they're literally waiting for the shill.
So you figured out how to game the system in some way to like build up all this karma and to just become really good at what you do. So like I did notice just when I was looking stuff up about you, like one of the primary critiques I've seen people on Reddit make of you is that you repost content. How do you view the sort of integrity of the platform? Because there's definitely like that purist mindset where some people think like, oh, Reddit has to be all original. It has to be all new things. But
then
you have certain subs, like you might have a sub like the GIF sub might upload something, and then that's from something that was already uploaded on the video sub, and they just took like a snippet of it.
Exactly. Very good example.
So like, what are your thoughts on sort of that like purist mindset of Reddit, and like how do you feel about generated content on it?
Absolutely, man. I have a very clear answer to that. Just to start with something, I've tinkered on Reddit before Galaboob just because I had no idea what it was. Mm-hmm. And they were throwaway accounts because I literally had no idea what I was doing. So I wasn't even trying to be myself or engage. I was just dumping content, trying to test the waters. One of the things I figured out is that you can repost things that have been on a similar subreddit. So let's say our our picks, all right? Mm-hmm. I can go through our picks, list it, and browse it through like popular from a year ago or popular from old time, and I can go through the popular post. Maybe 90% chances of reposting something, obviously without being Gallo Boob, because you're going to get called out like this if I repost something. Like people, they know how to make common karma. Call out Gallo Boob in a repost, you get common karma. But so you can, and bots do that. We've been fighting a lot of spam that usually does exactly that. They would feed off of the same sub, go through old posts and repost with the same title. And it's going to get seen again because the audience is not the same a year ago. Even, you know, yesterday, the audience is not the same. People are not on Reddit all the time. They just come and go. And I found out that this works. I've also found out that some subreddits don't want you to repost, hence getting my one or two alts, like shitty throwaway alts, banned. And I'm like, all right, that makes sense. They don't want to dilute their content. So I get that. It makes sense. Eventually on Gallo Boob, I had no reason to repost because I knew where to find fresh content. I know how to aggregate contents on specific niche subs. And at the end of the day, they have this new tool that they introduced called cross-posting. And it's obvious as ever, like it's cross-posting. It's not. So if I post something funny or cool, you can cross-post it to another community that also is supposedly going to enjoy it and be like, oh, that's relevant to another community as well. So this is great because it spreads content on Reddit. It helps communities grow. Because if I cross-post something to a super big community from a small one, people are going to be like, oh, where is it coming from? Small community. And traffic's flow. That's how you kind of grow smaller communities. Yeah. That's like, it's not really rocket science. You can cross-post to bigger ones and people will flock over. I think on Gallo Boob, the whole point is it became kind of a meme, like a circle jerk meme, a joke, inside joke, whatever you want to call it. And the sheer amount of content I post, sometimes if it's cropped differently or it's a GIF that started at another second, it will be, for instance, a repost. Mm-hmm. Usually either I delete that because I don't want to get banned from subreddits, or if it's not within the subreddit rule, I'm like, that's fine. Yeah. But the culture on Reddit is very fickle like that. I agree. People are proud to be Redditors. They're proud to be like subscribed to a subreddit. So if you're reposting to R Funny, they're like, fuck off. Stop ruining the community with your repost. And I get that. I get that pride. I don't agree with pride, especially when you're not making a profit out of anything. Don't be proud, man. In life, don't be proud. Seriously, like pride is misplaced all the senses of the term.
And it's interesting, too, because you have certain subs. Like, I remember a couple years ago when the sub Meme Economy started coming out, and it was really small. And it was funny because it was right around the time that I was getting into social media strongly with work. So I would use that because it had a lot of hardcore Redditors that would be sort of like cultivating cool content. And now when you go to that sub, it's got like 500,000 members and they're all reposting old content. It's all younger. Like you said, it's all completely new members. So like they'll be like new meme format. And meanwhile, everyone on that sub is like, no, like this is over a year old. This
makes no sense. See, but that's it. First of all, this is a niche sub for popular formats for memes, you know, to replace words on and like.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's great. But you said it, man. Like if you repost an old post on such a sub, why? It's a trendy thing that has to do with the times, with the whole, you know, like the online fabric right now. If you repost it, it goes kind of against the essence of that sub to that extent. I moderate Reddit a lot lately and I can't remove all reposts from my communities because sometimes you have to admit that people aren't online all the time. So things that trended a year ago are fine getting reposted now. But if somebody is doing it professionally or doing it as a spam bot, you know, like you could tell that he's reposting literally all old posts from our sub, we filter that out. But if somebody is posting some funny content that happen to trend again, we allow it.
Yeah,
there's the end of the day.
Like there's ones like that one just went viral all over again, the whole slaps roof on car, the car salesman. That's so old, but like that blew
that
up
so
the past
old.
Month or so, like 2 months. Like that's
it
came
ends up
back.
Everywhere too.
Yeah.
It ends up everywhere on Reddit, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook as well. It's a funny way to see it happen, but it does. That's how it happens. Like things can trend again. So it's not surprised to see them again on Reddit. I also have some issue with, you know, people being too proud about Reddit in the sense where like, oh, I saw this on Facebook last week.
Right.
Why are you posting? Like, dude, it's the same bullshit altogether. Everyone's making profit on our backs. No one's fucking making money on this. It's a free model platform.
Yep.
Reddit, Facebook, Instagram. It's a free model platform. Remember what that means. That means you make an account and you get your info siphoned out to get targeted with ads. And then you can literally get exposure by paying them to tap into this info to you know, PPC yep. ads and paid click ads, like literally ads, man. So the whole pride for Facebook or Reddit or anything is just insane to me, man. I get the whole pride for subreddits sometimes, as you said, like the meme economy. You're right to be pissed off if someone is, because it's a very niche sub.
Yeah.
But it doesn't apply to everything, I guess.
Yeah, and then there's like, some purists. There's some people, like this, you mentioned, the people who get mad about like Facebook posting something first. I feel like there's that sort of aura over Reddit because it's the original. It's one of the original internet aggregating communities. True. So people were used to, like when I started on Reddit like 5 or 6 years ago, but I was never like super, super active. But I mean, from that time, my coworker Jeff, who got me into it, we talk about it at work and all that. And it was funny because once I got into Reddit, I realized that the things I saw there would go viral on Facebook maybe a month or two later. So like there was that sort of, you know what I mean? So there was that
absolutely,
sort of like,
absolutely.
Oh, we're on the inside, but now that yes. content's aggregated everywhere. Sometimes it absolutely. Starts on Twitter. It might start on Facebook. Like you don't really know where it starts. So you have
but
that.
This is so real, man.
Yeah,
it was different, wasn't it?
Like, yeah, it was totally different.
Reddit was that kind of, I guess, the breeding grounds for these things to blow up. And like, if Reddit made something go viral, it would make sense to see it on Facebook or CNN and like a BuzzFeed the next day. That makes sense. We're over that. But you yep. said it, man. It's, I think today you have to admit that all these platforms scaled the fuck up. They blew up. They're not even within, they're not communities anymore. They're massive platforms. And you can't just have that special, like, I'm proud of this, I'm proud of that. Fair. Then again, like, if you have your favorite sub or your favorite group on Facebook, good for you. But it's not about pride. It's about entertainment. You
yeah.
know?
Like, well, we ruined it. I think marketers ruined it. People.
Yeah. You know? why are you saying that?
You and I ruined it, dude. Like, people
we just went there.
I mean, it's true. Like, the example I always go to, dude, is the meme curator accounts, like Fuck Jerry. Those accounts.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I don't want to bash on him, but yep, go ahead.
Well, yeah. Well, like, I was going to, like, he's like that account, and then there's like the Fat Jewish. There's a bunch of these ones where,
yep.
Just talking to myself, Twitter personally, like, I know a lot of the joke writers on Twitter. And these are people who they have like chat rooms where like the group DMs where like they all bounce content off each other, and they come up with such amazing original content that gets aggregated everywhere. And they do it for free. Like they do it for like what we're talking about, like the creative, the fun, the entertainment. But then these accounts come in like a Fuck Jerry. And they take those screenshots yeah. and they take those memes and they post it on their page, and they're getting paid for ads. So it's like,
yep.
So it's such like a weird time that we live in because it's the Wild West. There's no really law or rule. Like you're not really seeing companies get sued over memes yet. But
agreed.
It's like, it's a really weird space.
I agreed. I have a lot to say on this, so I'll try to like keep it short. But man, so first of all, that's very well said. A lot of these organic memes that trend, that you know, these big memes on Twitter that you see everywhere in like a week or a day, they are predominantly made by people who are bored, enjoying, you know, social media and having a laugh, not people who are peddling a product, a
yeah.
URL, or anything, really. They're not peddling a thing. Maybe they want followers because they're trying to be funny. Fair enough, peddle away. But it's not really the same thing. And then you do have these masqueraded corporate accounts going into the trying to tap into the viral world, making things look organic. That's fine. We can get over that. I think at the end of the day, I'll give you an example. Like imagine me on Reddit. Imagine like I had an Instagram account where I posted everything I did on Reddit on Insta, right? And then I'm famous because of all this stuff I'm aggregating on Reddit. And people are like, oh, this guy is great. He shares good content. And suddenly I start selling my merch. And then I start selling fit booty tee.
Yep.
And then I start selling, you know, like sponsored discounts. Dude, this is only fair if you're dishing out original content and you're doing sponsors or partnerships.
Yep.
It's not really fair to sneak it into whatever aggregation, like general aggregation you're doing. And I just want to touch base on one thing. You know, like Unilad, today they're a multi-million dollar business. And it makes sense, kind of like BuzzFeed, kind of like everyone else. But I'm going to specifically mention Unilad because I haven't worked with BuzzFeed. So Unilad back then, when they started, there was just three dudes in their uni room shitposting on Facebook, ripping videos off of, not doing it on purpose, not nefariously, just bored. Posting funny videos from YouTube on Facebook. Granted, it was against copyright, But copyright didn't exist on Facebook for a while.
Yeah.
They didn't care about it because it was rolling into views. They were popularizing their video formats. They were trying to take over YouTube. So it all makes sense. I was there when it happened, man. And I could see the copyright go uncalled for on Facebook. No one cared. Facebook didn't care. You'd be a creator on YouTube. You'd get your content stolen. Nothing you can do to change that. And someone asshole links like a merch, you know, URL underneath that video. And you're like, dude, first of all, I'm not getting credit and you're making money. What is that?
Yeah.
What is that? Yeah, that was weird. And they tried to fine tune their way into legality, into what's legit. Unilad eventually, you know, got to, they had these submission forms. So if you had a video and for us to have a right to post it on Facebook, you'd have to submit it through that form. Mm. And that was after the copyright. And I get it. Like, that's aggregation done right. They have some promotions. They're still making a fuck ton metric, like so much amount of money on promotional posts and others. You know, like if you see a video from on Unilad or any other popular page, if you see a video from Starbucks, for instance, that seems kind of viral, like baristas joggling around, that's paid sponsorship.
Right.
You shouldn't really.
Right.
It's just paid. And they're making money on this. It's not paid sponsorship. Like, it's smooth. Like, it's a bulky money. Anyway, I hear you. And we're just in the midst of it. Facebook is getting harder on the copyright. I don't know where Reddit's going to end up copyright-wise, man. They're introducing their video player, like the Reddit video player. Eventually, you know, like, we both know what's going to happen. Eventually, they're going to label us. They're going to be slapping ads on these videos.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because that's how it works. And they're also scaling up their advertising program, like the PPC on Reddit, the paid-per-click advertising is getting better. So all these platforms want to generate money. And while it makes sense, I think they took their sweet ass time to really consider copyright infringement and copyright law in general. And if my Reddit account ends up getting deleted on Reddit because I was aggregating content that isn't my own, fair, kill the account, but do so with all copyright everywhere on all platforms. Yeah. I'm not, like, the thing is, obviously I'm not claiming content to be my own on Reddit. But yeah, so at the end of the day, I just think the overall approach to copyright is still so blurry, man. They're still they're upgrading copyright law in the US now and international copyright law. And they have no idea what they're doing. Maybe platforms like Reddit down the line will kind of aggregate content that's not your own anymore, you know? Like, you can't even post something that's not your own anymore. But that would kill any memes. All the meme format would die out because memes are usually just images that, you know, like, you find a silly image online and you frame it into a meme. That's kind of all the point. It's not your image. And I don't know what would happen to viral media. It would probably die out as we know it. But until that happens, we'll see what goes on. You will have Fuck Jerry and Big Fat Jew. What was his name?
Fat Jewish.
The Fat Jew. I'm like, Big Fat Jewish, right? the Fat Jewish. And you'll have people like them who just, they made their name. And you know, they don't even need to make too much effort now because they have a platform, an audience. I think the Fat Jew Fat Jewish was selling like his own wine or something not long ago.
Wow.
Like, you can promote and push anything you want when you have an audience of millions, you know, on Insta.
Yeah, it's so sticky, man, because it's just like, part of me gets it because, you know, as time goes on with anything, advertising sticks its hands in it. And people, I think a lot of people don't understand, too, is social media. Like, we have Reddit, we have Twitter, we have Facebook, we have these YouTube, these platforms for free because of advertisers. Like, people are spending money to promote their ads.
Absolutely.
So that we can all have free accounts. And in the process of doing, like, I get that, so I get why there's people that need to make money and ads, and that whole conversation is very complex and nuanced, and I'm not an expert on any of it. But when it comes to original content, it is such a weird, it's a weird place to be in, because there's certain things I think that we can all look at. Like, if I'm posting like a SpongeBob meme from a corporate account, which I think every corporate account does. You don't really put that much thought into it because you think, well, SpongeBob, it's a giant show, like it's making millions, billions of dollars, like it's its own thing. Who really cares, right? But then when you get talking about like someone's original content who's a creator, you know, who has, might have a smaller account, like you get into this really sticky, exploitative field where it's like, are you like you're now using this person's artwork or this person's meme or this person's joke format, whatever it is, like
absolutely.
I'm all about sharing. I come up with fun original stuff all the time that I hope people use. Like I have people DM me on Twitter saying, can I use this format? And I'll be like, of course, who cares, right? But when it when it comes to people like making money then like off their thing,
exactly,
like, it's just a weird situation.
For instance, if somebody use your meme for their ad and it like it's a successful ad, that's not fair, right?
Yeah,
but if they
yeah.
use your meme to post on an Insta because it's funny, go ahead, mate. It's you know, it's sensible enough to understand, I guess. It should be, at least.
Yeah, man, definitely. So like with all that, like all the Reddit talk behind, like you're working at Supload now. So like what's going on with what you do and how do you get into this new job position? How's it going?
So right now I'm working with Supload. We're in the middle of our, not really in the middle, in the very beginning of our ICO phase, which is like initial coin offering, which is the term you use for, the simplest example would be to, if you had a Kickstarter project and, you had people invest in that project to see it into, you know, to see it become reality. The same thing applies for crypto with ICO. So basically I have an idea. For a platform or a coin or whatever, I put it out there and people can invest in that idea. If it gets funded enough, it becomes reality and there's a minimal, a maximum and all that. It's fascinating, first of all. Like the world of crypto has been fascinating and not really new to me, but I have been kind of learning the ropes for 6 months plus now. So it was new to me and it kind of still is, but I feel more comfortable in it. And essentially, like Supload, what we're trying to do, I don't want to, you know, go into too much details.
Yeah,
about
course,
it.
Of course.
But like briefly saying, we're kind of doing the aggregating platform model. So think Imgur or Reddit, mm-hmm. but more Imgur right now in format. And down the line, like obviously we have goals to introduce different formats and stuff like that. But right now we kind of look similar to Imgur as a GIF and image aggregating platform. And what we're doing is we're sharing like the AdSense, any ad return that we make on views is shared 50-50 with the user. And that was the initial model of the platform. And now they're, we have reworked the entire what do you call it? Pretty much the back end, everything.
Yeah.
And we're creating kind of like I don't know if you're familiar with Steemit.com. Steemit.com is a crypto-based agro platform as well.
Okay.
And it's popular. The only downside with Steemit is you can literally buy votes and whales. So for instance, my account on Reddit would be considered a whale because it's a massive account. And another account with like 1,000 karma is a normal account. My account's vote counts like 100 times, you know, the other normal account's vote, which means I can tell people, oh, you want Gallo Boob's vote? Pay me.
Yeah.
Obviously people are going to pay me.
Right.
That model is a bit iffy in the long run because you literally end up with a cabal of whales and an auction to front page. To me, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, you know, get to bashing Steemit. Fuck it. Supload, yeah, I could, but I'm not. Shots kind of fired. Just blocking the gun.
No. Love that. Shots kind of fired.
But yeah, so with Supload, we're doing the... now we're introducing the whole, like, tipping users, the whole... The more views you have on a GIF, be it a direct GIF or just the GIF itself, you know, like there are different formats. If you want to link back to the website or just the content, like the GIF or the JPEG, you can. It differs. Essentially, we're trying to create a community that is self-regulated. Moderators are going to be paid. There's an incentive to moderate. There's an incentive to post content. There's an incentive to upvote and comment as well. In essence, what we're doing is creating kind of a platform where it's not the free-for-all model. It's the we'll share the fucking returns with you model.
Right.
Because every platform I've been on, man, has been Welcome. Great. Give us your email. Haha, it's amazing. Look at our features. And you don't really make anything on it except spend time and eventually get targeted with ads after a year or two. Like Facebook wasn't ad ridden. Now it's literally ad central.
Yep.
And we all had it before for academic reasons. Now we had it because it's societal standard. Meanwhile, we're just gulping ads. It's a bit weird. And they're not even paying all creators on Facebook, man. They're paying very limited creators that are super established.
Yeah.
So the more views you're getting the platform, the more attention you get. I'm not saying there's something wrong with that, but the model itself has cracks. And right. They're starting to show with everything from the adpocalypse with the YouTube, man. They introduce an automated algorithm to monetize or demonetize your content. It encounters. I encountered so many mistakes and errors that I'm surprised they're still going with it. But I guess, on the other hand, they would have to hire like 40,000, moderators.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
So they have no choice. And I get that. And meanwhile, dude, we both fucking know Reddit is just what you call is surfing away on the wave of free moderation.
Yep.
And administration is weak, dude. They're not many. I know it for a fact because I know people within the administration or the founders of Reddit and like all over. And I've had people who worked at Reddit leave Reddit and end up, telling me a few things. And it's not like the boogeyman story is bad, but their workforce is beyond underwhelming for the third biggest platform in the US. They need more hands-on people. They need more vision. I don't know. Even though I obviously fucking support Reddit, but they could just do a better job, especially when it comes to security, like the admin, our end of spam and death threats and harassment, that needs,
right.
It needs to be better. Needs to be more hands-on.
Do you think a lot of that comes from the fact that they've tried for a long time to sort of be the platform that it's like the people's platform where they don't have as many ads? When you think of Reddit, like it's almost we've been talking about this whole time. It's almost advertiser proof. Like you can run ads on it, but it's really hard to like cheat the system and to really make money. Like it's hard for the company itself to make money. Does that have to do with it, you think?
True. Well, first of all, if you know your way around Reddit, you can plug a product or story and you can trend it. But as we said before, like if you're outed as a shill, the whole story and yourself is going to become like a thing of witch hunt,
yeah.
Like that was fabricated, blah blah. So it's kind of it goes against marketing's purpose, like to make something looks good. It makes something looks terrible if you're outed. So I know people are using it like that, and there's a lot of fake traffic on Reddit and all that. But I think the mistake was, as you said it, man. Like, I don't really want to touch base on these things because they're a bit fucking dark. But like our jailbait and our Coontown and these subreddit that were about child pornography and like hateful narrative against black people, that was a real part of Reddit, as real as any other Reddit, lore. And these things took way too long for the administration to address. I had someone right now, I was talking on Slack, on the default Slack for my fellow geeky default moderators. And we have a contact with the admins on there, but it's just for security measures and things like that. I was talking with someone and I posted something on a wholesome black people Twitter sub 2 days ago. And somebody messaged me like, you're promoting something like Obama was saying rest in peace for what's her name? Oh my God, how is she escaping my name? The singer Aretha.
Aretha Franklin. Yeah, yeah.
Aretha, there you go. So, and Obama was just saying, condolences. And I posted that and somebody links back and they're like, I don't want to say the words on, here, but basically calling me an N-word lover. What? Because I'm posting pro-black people content. And then I posted that on the default Slack and they had a laugh. They're like, well, this is what you get, man. This is when the administration's not making enough efforts. And one of my fucking fellow mods, man, he linked back to a story. They had a subreddit called R N-word, all right? Not the N, like literally called R-N-I-G, the N-word. And it stayed live for about a year, if not more, before the administration took it down. What the fuck? What do you mean? Is that free speech or is that insanity?
Well, that's where the whole Sorry. Yeah, that's where the whole like free speech argument comes in. It's like these people, because Reddit is known as like a free speech platform, and similarly, YouTube used to be that way. True. And it's like once you introduce more moderation to people like picking and choosing what they can and can't be on there, you have a lot of these online free speech warriors who they get up in arms even at the hate speech and like the terrible stuff that comes up, and it becomes this whole how do you draw the line, where do you define, like is it defined when it's it becomes threatening, because like you can say terrible things on the internet and like I guess under certain terms of service like you're okay to say that, but now they're starting it's so arbitrary, like it's become so arbitrary, and like it seems like Twitter gets this all the time where they suspend and they ban a lot of accounts who use bad language to like attack people, and a lot of the cases
witch hunts.
But like then they don't suspend other accounts, like they have like white nationalist accounts, which are basically Nazi accounts, and it's this really
pretty much
weird thing, where it's like the lines are so arbitrary and no one really has a good understanding. Then you have those situations where like what was the one, that whole controversy with like a bunch of celebrity nudes leaked on the Reddit?
Yes, Fappening, I think it was called Fappening.
Yes. So, like that whole thing happened, and like that is the kind of stuff where it's like, you need, this isn't a free speech thing. Like it's, you need to have some type of moderation to know how to handle these situations.
It's your platform. It's your platform, man. You have money invested in it. You have people, like you have a workforce behind it. I get the whole free speech model, and you're right. Reddit launched as a free speech platform, man. That's why it's having a hard time plugging away from it. It was about free speech in all the sense of the term, be it the darker to the lighter things. Like it's you don't want, the overly wholesome thing is cringy as hell, but the overly dark thing, it's toxic. You don't want it. It does so much more harm. And I think Reddit took a long time before they addressed these things publicly. And they were a lot of the times they wanted to stay hands off, right? Yeah. Because it's a platform moderated by its users, et cetera, and curated by its users. And they were minimal on ads and all that. Anyway, right now, man, ever since like, 2-3 years ago, or specifically after the 2016 election, do you know how many subs the administration had to step into and like hands on, make sure things aren't going south?
Yeah.
Because it's scaling up too fast. People are understanding the impact of Reddit. You can, in like a day or two, if you have like a toxic Discord group, you can grow a subreddit, trend it, have it hit RL, have it trend again and keep growing. And then you end up with like in a month's time with a community of hating black people. And you're like, why are you on Reddit, man? If anything, you guys belong in like a nut house, not in a forum. And sincerely, and I say this, they're definitely not listening, but whoever's calling the shots on quarantining, I don't know how to say it, but pretty much
you got
quarantining subreddits, whoever's making these shots, just take one factor into account, right? The simplest factor of all. Is this dangerous or is it not? When you're attacking a group of people, it's dangerous. When you're lynching people and trying to, you know, spread misinformation or very like wishing people are dead, this is aggressive. It's dangerous. It can end badly. And we have more than enough case study of things that started online, on a forum, on 4chan, on Reddit, ended up, you know, in real life. People got swatted. People got shot. People got fucking locked up.
Yep.
Like these things are serious. I think the administration needs to be more hands-on, man. But for that to happen, they need more workforce. And I guess they're somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, it's so dark, man. It really is. And that's how it feels. I mean, Reddit's a really good example to highlight here. I mean, it does exist everywhere else too. It exists on YouTube, it exists on Twitter.
Absolutely.
It's just really strange. Absolutely. Again, like you nailed it right there. Like, I think since the election especially, like since then and even a little bit before then, when you had like Gamergate and other certain movements that started to become really politicized leading up to the election, it just sparked something in so many people who they flocked to online communities. And when that happened, it's like the companies, they're making money, but yeah, to fund the proper moderators and to have the sort of speech codes in place is so, so sticky in this era post 2016 election, because free speech is such a hot button topic. Like, there's people, and it's
a gray area.
It is so gray because it sucks how it's become a sort of right wing talking point. Like, right wing in America, at least, like, it's like they're like the sort of free speech brigaders, whereas then left wing people sort of tend to be like more lenient, like, let's, you know, like, let's curtail certain speech. And it shouldn't be a left right issue. It should be more, hey, let's come together and figure out like what speech, like we all know you can't yell bomb on
Absolutely
an airplane, not. You can't yell fire in a movie theater. Like, there's these examples where free speech can exist, but there also has to be certain lines drawn, certain consequences for, like you said, you nailed it when you said people, they create these groups online. And at first, if you're a moderator and you see something like the N-word group, and your first thought is, okay, well, they have the right to do this. Like, it's just a chat room. I don't want them there, but I'm going to let them do it. But then you watch that community grow and grow, and it's grown by hate. So if it's grown by hate, like, of course, that's going to aggregate and create real life consequences as time goes on if you don't
absolutely
to, like, curb it, you know? So it's really, it's a really tough issue to talk about, but there definitely needs to be
it
better
grows
solutions.
In intensity too, man.
Yeah,
absolutely. These things, like, when you're feeling part of a close community and you're relating to everyone, it grows. It takes it escalates intensity of everyone's intentions, everyone's voice, everyone's anger becomes multiplied by 100 because they feel like it's backed up by, you know, 20 other people on that chat room. There's nothing wrong with finding people who are similar to you in life and aggregating. The only problem is it's getting out of hand on Reddit. I love how you said that if the right and the left and every fucker who is in between just sat down and defined this, defined free speech. Free speech is a free speech, but it stops being free speech if you're putting someone's life in jeopardy, if someone's being fucking lynched, if there's misinformation that is purposely there to flag like a certain group of people. That's not free speech, man. I get idiots in ModMin. They're like, why did I get banned? I tell them because you use the N-word, and I link back to the fucking thing. I'm like, this is what you said. You said, haha, N-word, haha, whatever, no jobs, haha, something. You know, these generalist right fucking bullshit comments that are, X group of people, is inefficient because of the, and they pull out articles that are trying to sway me to believe that, oh, black people are, they're academically inferior. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about? And this is these people are not easy to engage with. These people are just waiting for you to say something so they can take this and go to their group of people and cry
exactly
censorship.
Yes, yes.
And this is a bad fucking cycle, man. Terrible cycle.
And they don't understand. I think a lot of it's younger kids. A lot of it's kids that are like between 12 and 20. You know what I mean? So like, they don't have like the history or a lot of the social context to understand some of these issues. And even just like the term itself, like the founding of the term free speech, like it's been rehashed and our understanding of it has changed over decades and centuries. Like it's not some term that was invented.
Absolutely.
And we all just agreed, oh, this is like its own thing.
Well,
we're
said
all like, we all have different interpretations of it. So it's not like this end all be all thing you can just put out there and say, no, you can't ban me, free speech. Like, no, dude, like there are still laws, there's still rules. And just because
that's it, you know, laws,
and we're in the wild west of
well
the internet,
laws.
Yeah, like, man. Because the internet's so, it's so new, and like there's not laws, there's not regulations. Like it's just really, it's all so gray for people, and like they don't want to take the time to actually step back and internally look. Because I do this all the time. Like as someone who is constantly online, there's constantly things that I'll say that I, in my mind, like my intentions might be one way, and then I realize that it either hurts somebody or it has the potential to hurt somebody, and I have to actually go
Absolutely
internally and think like, wait, what I just said here has these consequences. And that's not me being politically correct. That's not me being, you know, like being too sensitive. Like, no, dude, this is how real life works. No. Like real life, if you have a relationship with somebody and you say something to hurt them, like you're not, like if you're a good friend or a good person, you're not going to intentionally keep saying that thing just for the sake of what, free speech? You know, you understand how to moderate yourself and change yourself. Like there was like one, just one quick example. Like I gave on the Stakeup account a couple months ago. I don't know if you know the Twitter account Nihilist Arby's. If you do, it's hilarious.
Oh shit, I know that one.
Dude,
yes.
It is so funny. This guy who runs it, he's a genius.
I do.
It's so good. So he commented or he tweeted this thing out. It was the day after the company IHOP, they changed their name to IHOB, and it became this like corporate social media like it went viral for like a day. Everybody's like, oh, I can't believe IHOP did this. So anyway, a bunch of brands, including my brand Stakeum, we all changed our names to be funny because it was like they swapped a P out for a B in their name, so we all sort of did that with our names. So this guy who runs the Nihilist Arby's account tweeted out basically making fun of all the brands who jumped on this bandwagon, and I went on to that tweet and I just said triggered on it. And in my, like, my understanding of that word, I've used it socially all the time. Like, it's just funny. I think it's a funny word. Like, I don't really, it doesn't hurt me at all. It doesn't really affect me in any negative way. Like, when I say it, it's like, it's almost like a meme. You know what I mean? And, like, I wouldn't stop anyone else from using it, like, in certain social contexts. But I got attacked by, like, an online anonymous, like a trans community. Like, they all have, like, the furry avatars, you know what I mean? And they all were like attacking me, saying, dude, they were going off like, oh, like this is like you're promoting domestic abuse, you're promoting domestic violence, like this is a terrible thing for a company to say. And part of me, my first reaction,
misplaced collective anger.
Yes. That was my first reaction was, no, that's not what I meant by that. And anyone who read that should see that that's not what I meant by it. And it seemed obvious to me, but then the more I thought about it, and I was like, okay, well, it obviously hurt this community of people. So the right thing to do in this situation is to remove it. It's not like,
absolutely,
you know what I mean? Like I didn't have to remove it.
Die on that hill.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like I didn't have to remove it. It's not like I personally was offended by it, but just the fact that I could see it was like clearly a thing for the certain community. Like, why wouldn't you want to just do that? Like, you're not conceding, like you said, it's not the hill to die on. Like, you're not conceding this ultimate, super ethical high ground situation. Like, dude, it's a word. Who cares?
Exactly, man. Who cares? And we grew. Like, we both grew. If anything, I grew by understanding that, yeah, that was maybe insensitive.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like too nice in that sense, like, oh, I'm nice, I love, no, dude, I'm like, I'm a human at the end of the day.
Yeah,
I'm affected by everything everyone else is. But I can understand that a group of people, when they get angry about something together, it can scale it up in volume.
The mob
effect, sometimes that's
yeah.
like misinformation. Yeah, the mob mentality is a fucking thing. Like, it's the oldest human fuck up, I guess. We burned way too many witches and stoned way too many people who had nothing to do with, you know, the crime itself. But today it happens online, and I'm with you. If you were at the other end, like you put, if I put something out there that was a bit offensive, man, not only will I delete it, I will just apologize, saying that, first of all, thanks for making me see through it. Second of all, I'm assuming I'm a better person knowing that, oh, this is actually offensive for this group of people. I'm not part of this group of people, but I can understand that it's offensive to them.
Yes,
the thing is, you don't have to win every battle, man. And online, you can find way too many battles, more than you need. I think people need to be more understanding. And like arguments online, man. So I'm working on a piece right now that has to do, it's a bunch of journalists. When it's out, I'll link you up.
Cool.
It's so I was initially part of it. And then I brought forward a bunch of moderators, like girl moderators, younger mods, older mods, mods from everywhere. And they took part in this kind of a video interview as well as a whole like article. Basically, they're trying to look at harassment, you know, on Reddit when it comes to moderators and a few elements, like unpleasant elements on Reddit, and like a few things from harassment to spam to fake news to fake narratives to buying upvotes to these things. And And it was fun seeing this, seeing this take shape. It's not live now, but I really want to see it out there just to see the reception that this has. I think online communities in general tend to get like way angrier than they need to be, especially when they're like very niche. But again, I think Reddit as a platform is prioritizing this kind of aggro, like the negative aggro, instead of the normal discussions. And I think it's the whole internet, man. Everyone wants drama and clickbait and the unusual. No one wants to fucking hear about the cure for cancer. Everyone wants to hear about who Kardashian, like fucking, I don't even want to get into the, I don't even want to give an analogy to my example, but you get my point.
Yeah, totally.
Everyone wants that little nit, like the drama, that the low hanging fruit drama. So it's hard to pin, to point fingers and say like this group is wrong, this group is wrong. But it's actually kind of refreshing to talk with someone about this, even though we're talking with everyone who's listening right now. But I am kind of, I had a big glass of whiskey. Right now I'm talking
it
to
helps.
You. it helps, yeah. It's refreshing to hear that, because these are things that I don't really discuss with anyone, because, well, my friends don't understand these things. And it's hard to discuss with the public, because on Reddit, it's not a platform where you can really engage people in conversation,
right.
At least not yet. Like, not the, I have maybe 16,000 followers on Reddit, but I can't reach them all. So it's, I get maybe 100 or 200 engagement on a post. But it's good to talk about it, to see what's going to happen. I think there's a lot wrong with the internet, and I'm not saying everything should be right. We're far, far away from like a physical utopia, so even further away from an online utopia. But I guess addressing these things and, you know, talking about them matters. And on Reddit, people are not talking about these things enough. So
definitely, man.
I just wish they did.
We can kind of end on this, because I think this has been, it's been really cool. I'm really interested to know, for you, given everything we just talked about, like, how do you see your role in the next few years evolving online as someone who really is a personality that is, you're notorious, you're viral on Reddit, you have that persona that people, they can follow your public social media accounts, and then you're also very transparent, like on Instagram with your life, you're on vacation, so you're kind of acting as a bridge for a lot of people in these cases where maybe, I don't know, like there's not really a, I don't see at this point there being any kind of council of elders for the internet. I'm not trying to like superimpose.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, you know, I'm not trying to superimpose anything on you, but I mean,
you put it in my head.
Just thinking, hey, both you and I have the egos for this type of thing, but it's like when you think about your role as someone who's really online and you understand people and you have a good understanding of these platforms, like how do you see your role evolving in the next few years? Like, do you have any kind of plan or any kind of vision for like something you could do in the future, or like any kind of solutions to the stuff we've been talking about?
I love that question, dude. Just to like, if we're ending on that, really good question. I think me personally, I'm definitely not here to change the world or, you know, pave the world forward to anyone else. I'm just passing by. I want to be able to afford a dog or five and die of old age with that. That's my goal in life. But what you're saying is, I think we've tried a lot of things. We had way too many trials and errors from Reddit, Facebook, all the platforms we've tried to get today. Every single platform had a very hardcore downside, be it politically abused, socially abused, witch hunts, like this toxic content, harassment. These are going to serve for, like, this is what you call a trial and error phase. I just think we're not out of the trial and error phase yet, which is kind of sad, because it leaves some doors open for a lot of additional mistakes to happen. I don't think we're close to getting there yet, because our political systems aren't even close to being, you know, solid. So I wouldn't imagine our online fabric to even get close to it. Like, the online world is the freshest thing humanity has tapped into. And I'm not trying to sound like, you know, overly wise or something. I'm just being real. It's such a new tool, that instant telepathy or that instant surge of information is such a new tool that I think we should be collectively ready for a lot more fuck-ups. I, for one, love the idea of decentralizing the internet. The crypto world kind of taps into this. The blockchain tech also supports this. But with even within this world, you see corruption. So I personally want to, sounds fucking sad, man, but I think eventually I would want to unplug and live comfortably offline. The other thing I would say is my viral product right now is supporting a social cause that I strongly, strongly believe in. And if this takes off, it'll be the best thing I could have done, because for me to live my everyday supporting some social cause that I believe in, feeling like I'm doing some change, like positive change in the world, that would make me, I guess, you know, pass out in peace or die in peace, as you said. But for now, I'm kind of powering through. I want to see where it ends. Supload is a great project I'm part of, and I love that. We'll see where that goes. My personal project is also, obviously, I'm fascinated by it, but we'll see how the public reacts to it. But to be honest with you, Nathan, I don't think I want to be online for much longer, man.
That's good to hear.
Do you?
That's good to hear. No, I do not.
There you go, man. Peace of mind does not come online, or it comes really scarcely. Like, it's a rare thing to find online.
Yeah, for me, it almost feels like you go online, and the deeper you go, you hope you come out the other side somehow. Because you kind of, I conflate it with just being on Facebook. It's like Facebook the past couple years has been so politicized, and there's so much toxic. It really revealed, because Facebook is all public, so it's a lot of family and friends.
True.
And it really brought out the side of our family and friends in a way that we weren't ready for, I think, as a culture, like just broadly speaking. And I think you kind of tap into that, and that's like your sort of introduction for a lot of people to social media, like at least in the past 10 years. And then you dip into things like Reddit or Twitter, maybe YouTube, or who knows, 4chan, whatever it is. And it's, in my eyes at least, the internet only gets good when you really go deep, because then you have a good understanding of how it works. You get the language.
Absolutely.
Like, you know how like the different platforms function. But the issue with that then is like when you stay stuck there, it just consumes your life. So the goal, I think, is to what you're saying. We're doing this, we're part of this thing, we're all guinea pigs in a way. Like, who really knows how the future is going to look back on what we're doing in this whole time period. But I definitely don't want to be this online and this involved over the course of my life. Like, it's just,
yes,
it's so draining, and it's such a heavy thing to constantly be, you know, involving not just my time, but like my personality and my energy. And it's
absolutely
just, yeah, so I'm with you, man.
It shapes you, man.
It does.
I fucking love what you just said. It shapes you, man, and it drains you. And I think life is a bit too short to, you know, to spend it online like that. I've had so many good days on Reddit and so many bad days. And if I had to choose, I'd rather be under a fucking tree with my dog. So, yeah.
I love it. Dude, it's been so good, man. Thanks so much for the time. I'm really glad we finally got to hit it. This has been
big
great.
Pleasure on my end. Really, really my pleasure, man. It's been really great. And I'm going to look forward to seeing that online, but you're not going to be a stranger, right?
Dude, of course. Dude, if you come to the States, hit me up. We'll make something happen. Like,
I'm going
to. We'll have to figure something out, all right?
We need that picture. We need that picture with my beard, my inferior beard.
I can trip. Dude, I'm just going to like let this out, because I think this episode will be out after next week.
Go, tell me.
So I'll have shaven my beard by the time this comes
out. Are you serious?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I'm getting married next Saturday, and I'm going to shave it that night,
right?
I think.
Trimmed or shaved?
I think I'm going to do you, dude. I think I'm going to go all the way down. Like,
all right, go for it. Just fucking go for it, man.
And
congratulations. That made me, like, I don't know why I'm so happy about you getting married in 2 weeks, but I am.
It's a fun thing, man. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
We'll be our naked-faced brothers. That's what we'll be.
Absolutely, man. We'll take the naked face, and then we'll Photoshop the beard on, you know, like, we'll fake it. Leave it with me.
Hell yeah,
but
dude.
It's been a real pleasure, Nate.
Yeah, it's been. Thanks so much for the time, man.
You have a great weekend again, man. And we'll talk again very soon.
I'll catch you on social media till then.
Cheers, my bro.
See you, dude.